Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, Alarmy, check out Alarmist on Patreon for ad-free episodes and bonus content. Here's a preview of our Guest Alarmist series, only on Patreon.
Like, what is that instinct that made you run to the bathroom?
Shame. Oh, 100%. I felt so ashamed. This is like, she was like an older woman too.
Right.
And she had this like,
you were disgracing her.
She was disgraced. Like, make no mistake. If she came in with grace, she was disgraced.
Yes.
Go to patreon.com/thealarmist and subscribe today. Now, on to our episode. Each week, we decide who's to blame for a historical tragedy. And each week, you tell us if we got it right. My name is Rebecca Delgado-Smith, and this is The Aftermath. The Aftermath. Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into this episode of The Aftermath. Today we're speaking with guest expert, Dr. Jigwa Ye. Dr. Ye is an associate professor of history at Seattle Pacific University and the writer of multiple articles about the flood, including Cities Under Siege, Flood in 1931, and Environmental Challenges of Chinese Urban Modernization. She's also working on her upcoming book, Big as Modern, The Making of Wuhan as a Megacity in Early 20th Century China, 1889 to 1957. Let's hear what she has to say about the Central China floods of 1931. Dr. Ye, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
We're very excited to talk to you about this historical event that many of us hadn't even heard of before we did our search here. So I wanted to see if you could start off by giving us an abbreviated history of the Yellow and the Yangtze rivers. Had they caused flooding before? Mm-hmm. What measures had been taken to stop that flooding as the population of the cities grew in the area?
Yeah, sure, definitely. Yes, so this is called Central China floods. So the flood affected two large rivers, the Yangtze River and the Huai River. Okay, Yangtze River is the longest river in China. It started from the Qinghai province, which is close to Tibetan. All right, and then all the way flow, wandering around 8 provinces of central China, eventually enter into the Yellow Sea. So that is the river. It hosts a large number of well-developed cities. For an agricultural empire of China, many of the cities were built along the rivers because it's the city access to the water transportation, water for irrigation systems, providing food for people. Okay, China was known for a large number of most populated cities, right? Which made them, you know, a home for a large number of mega cities with population over 1 million. So water is very important. And for the Huai River, it's a little bit to the north China. But to North China, the largest river is Yellow River. During this time, the Yellow River also has a flooding issues, but not too bad. So that's why historically, people call this is a Jianghuai Shuizai, meaning Yangtze River and Huai River floods. All right. Yes, this river, this floods affected a large number of people. According to some survey, there are about 52 million people got affected, killed as many as 2 million people. So wow. This is a horrible disaster, one of the deadliest disaster in Chinese history, probably yeah. in the world record. And many of the, you know, economical loss and population loss occurred in the cities. As we've talked about how, you know, cities, usually in China, this old agricultural empire were located along the rivers.
Mm-hmm. So right. Can you tell us about the extreme weather events that happened in the region just prior to when this flooding started?
Yeah, definitely. Flooding issue is very usual. As you can imagine, right? For many centuries, traditional cities built by Imperial China along the rivers developed its strong water control systems, preventing floods. For example, the worst affected regions during 1931 is Wuhan, the city of Wuhan. At that time, the city is not yet unified. It is three urban localities, Wuchang, Hankou, Hanyang. All right. Each have their own water flood control systems built because that's annual issues. Flooding is annual issues for most of those riverine cities. Okay. Every late spring, local people had to prepared. Okay. The gentry, local elite were sent people to check the water levels, report to the local government. The government well started to maintain the dikes networks, you know, to survey the water level of the Yangtze River and its largest tributary, Han River, which divided the three urban centers into three different locations. So in late 19th century, there are quite a few large floods occurred. Every 3 to 5 years, there are big floods affected these regions.
Now, the cities that are most affected, mm-hmm. how does the flooding start in 1931? Can mm-hmm. you walk us through, because I know it wasn't just one day. It was a period of time.
It is a period of time. So yes, for 1931, the flood in 1931 was very unusual though. You know, it had its unusual natural conditions that created this huge devastating disaster. Because the winter in the previous year was really harsh. It has a huge snow and ice, right? That covered the entire Yangtze River Valley. Especially in the west, like the northwest, around the Tibetan area, large snow and ice stored over the winter. Okay, so entering into the spring 1931, when the weather got warm, and the melting of the snow and ice that joined with the huge heavy rains starting from May of 1931 that created huge water volumes and put a great pressure on the dike systems that already established in that region. And then for the summer, so it's very unusual. The scholars noticed that usually in that regions, we have in average, like in an average year, two cyclonic storms. But in that single month of July 1931, there are actually seven cyclonical storms. And that leading to a heavy rains with the volumes equivalent of like 1.5 times of the annual volumes of precipitations in a single month of July.
So it was unprecedented at the time. Now, it happened. So it started in May. Now in July is when there's this catastrophic dike breach in Wuhan, I believe. Yeah.
That's
and,
right.
And then there's another one that happens in a lake in August.
Yeah, in late August, because the water usually late spring and early summer, that was the time people expected the heavy rain, and then the water pressures will be strong. But that year, not only July had a heavy rain, and then August, even early September, you know, that was just like unstoppable, continuous heavy rain that put pressures. So we got like a few dikes got broken. The dikes that they created a few defensive lines, right? Wow. The dike protecting the Yangtze rivers to flow into the inner cities. And there's dikes that on the other side of Yangtze to prevent it floating into another city. Because there are three cities, right? We mentioned about Wuchang, Hankou, Hanyang. Wuchang is the provincial capital cities, which has a like a city wall to protect the urban proper. So that was the last one to outbreak. And for the Hankou, it's a commercial town. It has its own water control and flood prevention mechanism designated by local government. But there, because the city town, it had irregular urban design. So it has a little bit a war city zone, but it also has a market town's residential area outflow that preventing system. So the July break of the dikes that affected the Hankou first.
Hankou first. Okay. When this dike is breaks, when it fails, there's a massive initial death toll. Is that right? It's the flooding causes a lot of death.
Yes, initially. The flooding caused a lot of death. We don't have the accurate number showing how many people killed by flood, let's say July. Right. When the dikes failed in Wuhan, but we do have a survey conducted by a professor of a Nanjing universities, talking about that first few week, there are about 150,000 people died directly caused by drowning. So that was a huge number.
Now, how well maintained were these embankments that surrounded the river and the cities? And whose job was it at the time to ensure the safety of the residents that were living in these areas?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, this is my paper talking about. During the turn of the 20th century, this is the time China transformed from a traditional agricultural empire into a republican nation that emphasized urban modernization, industrialization. This new government, led by the Nationalist Party, the Kuomintang, they're very enthusiastic of transform China completely, right? So for the dike system that created so essential protect the riverine cities from flooding, that was a really essential mechanism designed for agricultural empire, because you want to protect the people, you want during the flooding seasons. And then some of the dike and network created some, the high water storage area. That's the high water storage area. After the water decline, it will become a very fertile arable land for people to grow crops. So it was very smartly designed, but it fit in that agricultural economy systems, and that mentality gradually gave away basically those new Western educated, so-called technocratic officials, right? They learn another way. They want borrow industrial model, how to build a city into China. So what they did, starting from 1927, this is made in 1931, that big cities so unprepared for this flood. 1927 is the year the Kuomintang was able to launch a very successful military exploration. And they conquer this central China large cities. So Wuhan was a very important one. When they settled down in Wuhan, they tried to transform the city as a showcase for what a modern city looks like. Okay, what they did was that they dismantled all the city wall. The city wall was crucial for imperial city design because the city wall were built with the waterproof bricks and other materials, and the city wall can prevent the flooding during the high water season. The city wall also built this like floodgates under it, so that connecting the rivers and lakes within the cities that can get the city out of the war cities during the high water seasons to the lakes and Yangtze River that outside of city. So when the Kuomintang, the Nationalist Party, established the local government, the first thing was that they do is dismantle the city wall and then damage the flood water gates and underground water tunnels to connect to the city, the waters within the city with that of the outside cities. So that actually, and also the artificial canals that created around the cities that often worked as a traditional drainage systems, so that when there's water came in the like when raining seasons, the water within the cities can hold waters that clean the cities and providing irrigation waters for growing crops, rice and whatever, necessary food for the urban people to eat.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
There's a civil war that's occurring in China at the time. And I believe it's between the Communist Party and the nationalist government that is now there.
That's right.
Can you give us some background on this conflict?
Sure. Yeah. So definitely in 1931, even though Kuomintang, the Nationalist Party, claim its unification of China and themselves acted as the legitimate central government, but they face a lot of challenges. One of the things is after 1927's North Expedition, they started this prolonged anti-communist campaign, right? And they're, the military tensions, but also a very costly political campaign that the Chiang Kai-shek had to gain support within his party and then the government, and use a large number of their military forces to crack down and hand down the communist military forces. So, 1931, one of the thing is you see that this modern government cannot designate enough financial and human resource to protect the floods or to help to build up and strengthen the dike systems that protecting them from the flooding is because, and those actions are just so costly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What now? Where were the residents of the cities going to seek refuge? What kind of aid was being provided for them?
Yeah, for sure. The local residents have its own traditional knowledge how to survive, but they also caught and very unprepared because usually they will go to the dikes, right? There's a dikes building outside of the Wuchang, which is a provincial government, the seat of a provincial government, where they that historical dikes usually considered very strong and safe for them to climb up and then set a refugee camp on those embankments. Actually, some of them did that. However, because by August, some crucial part of that dikes got break. So what they did is that they had to climb up the mountains, the high ground, and away from the rivers. But for some people living in the city, it's a little bit harder for them to get there for the time concerned. Another thing is because even though the city wall got dismantled, but the foundation of city wall that was built for centuries are still providing some protections. So there are one third of the cities within the city wall are not touched by the floods. So that's very fortunate for some of the people were able to find. But for Hanyang and Hankou was not that very fortunate. Pretty much the entire city of Hankou got completely inundated, which Hankou is the treaty port cities. Most of the investment made by the local merchants and association and people, their property got completely destroyed by the floods. So the economical loss was huge because starting from the Opium War to 2031, most of the local investment made by people occurred in Hankou, not in Wuchang.
Oh, wow. Now, was the government providing any aid for the survivors of the flood? Were they being sent to, were there refugee camps where, because I'm assuming there was total destruction for many people for their homes.
Yes. I think I read some documents showing 70% of the house got destroyed by the floods. That affected the poor community the worst, right? So you can imagine a lot of people created a large number of refugees, and people have to left out their homes. And then finding a safe place to live. The government did provide some refugee camp, provided food, medicines for people, but it's very limited. As you can imagine, the Chiang Kai-shek's government that under a lot of military and financial stress due to the the tension between Kuomintang and communist, and also in 1931, and seized this opportunity, the Japanese invaded the Manchu area. And so this is an actual burden for the nationalist government to provide a good disaster relief effort to people. But they were able to eventually negotiate to get the wheat from the United States. So this is really helpful. They originally trying to get League of Nations and find a loan that providing money and then providing financial support of the local people. But that negotiation didn't work out because 1931, we got global financial recession crisis.
Oh, wow.
Lit to of the course, World War II,
yes.
Right?
1931.
Yeah, 1931.
Yes. Very bad timing.
Very bad timing. So China actually facing the same, you know. But I guess because of the floods, you don't see the inflation. You don't see, you know, the financial crisis because we got a lot of people perished, right? It's about, you know, it depends what kind of a number you get. It's hard to give a precise estimation how many people died and affected by it. For the average, like people believe or usually the popular numbers people use to describe is 1/10 of the total national population got affected. 2 million people died. And then some other sources even suggest 1/4 of the national population got affected, right? Almost 4 million people died. So if you think about that number, you know, financial economic crisis is nothing. And yeah. As a matter of fact, by the November 1931, the nationalist government was able to secure this this negotiation or relief effort with the United States. Americans, farmers grow the wheat and they can ship across the Pacific Oceans and then using the food to helping people and get people, you know, to work on rebuilding the dike systems.
Now, the death toll continued to rise after the flooding because what was the reason? I believe there was illness, there was famine, there was
Can you tell definitely. Us more? There's a lot of reasons. Okay, the death toll directly caused by drowning is already huge. However, we've talked about the vast area got affected by the floods, and this floods caused by the prolonged heavy rain, which made the water recession of the water only started the early sign in early November, which means there are 3 months nothing changed if your house or your city buried on the waters, they stay that way. Okay, so a lot of people escaped and become homeless. For Wuhan alone, there's an estimated 400,000 people were left homeless. And when they live in the very crowded refugee camp, you know, the hygiene condition was horrible, right? So you can imagine a lot of people died because the flood related a disease. There's diarrhea, typhoid, and cholera, and also because of the crowdedness, there are other diseases like measles and smallpox outbreak. They're causing a huge death toll. In Wuhan, this is has a nickname of the furnace of China. During summertime, it's really hot, humid. Mm. So it become a perfect habit for mosquitoes in this refugee, crowded refugee camp that gave rise of malaria outbreak. So that killed an estimated 300,000 people. Okay.
Wow.
So for one document that I find says in total, the flood-related disease caused 70% reported fatalities amongst the rural families and 87 of the deaths in refugee camps.
Wow. Now, on top of all of this, the cities are, from my understanding, experiencing there's martial law that's declared by the local the militaries, the local government, mm-hmm. and there's a paranoia that's setting in. You kind of touched this, you spoke about this a little bit mm-hmm. earlier, but what is going right. on socially during yeah. this time?
Yes, well, it was a lot of going on, right? And this is a political crisis for the yeah. national government, for sure. Because about 4 years ago, 1927, that was the year the national government declared themselves as the only legitimate government to rule whole China. They officially ended the warlord periods of China, which when the Qing government collapsed, China fell apart. There are so many warlords taking over each different portions of this vast empire and rule by its own. And the nationalist governments are trying to, unify China. But 4 years later, after their efforts, they see this huge flood. So that's really a test for their legitimacy. And it's a political crisis. And then in terms of the political influence, we know that China, not everybody adopted this nationalist political ideology, right? We do have the communist, right, influence of the local people, more radicalized revolutionaries. So for this floods, yes, this floods, when the government carried out the disaster relief, their purpose definitely is to helping people, right? And a restored order of the local urban societies. But on the other hand, because they are still engaging, and very importantly, this anti-communist campaign. So you can see there's a consequence of that, right? With a lot of people running around, they worry about the communist or pro-communist mobs, riots, and people hide it as refugees went back to the city, because you have to keep in mind, cities are very important political base for the Kuomintang. They want to build a modern China by building a industrialized, modernized cities. So what they did from 1927, this anti-communist campaign is pushing all the pro-communist or communist members outside of cities and chasing some of them around the pushing them to around the China and pushing them into the remote mountain areas. So they are not intervene and the nationalist party's governance in cities. And they worry them to coming back. So when you protecting the local residents and then when you support helping get a food for the refugees, you worry about, you know, somebody coming here to destruct this process, to create some political or military pressures for Kuomintang.
Yes, taking advantage of
yes, the chaos.
The chaos, yes. Mm-hmm. So we found that, obtaining information about this disaster, even a quick Google search was difficult for us. It wasn't readily available, at least for us in the U.S., why isn't this disaster discussed more here in the States?
Yeah, that's a good question, I guess. I don't have a good answer for that. I guess even among Chinese, this flood is not very well studied. It's a controversial. I mean, yes, here in America, American is a huge country. And we do also have long rivers and floodings, right? Mississippi River. Yeah. but I think when America become an independent country after 18th century, American war was occurred because American already established that industrial power, which gave American this economical base to claim their independence. So I would argue American, when this country came into form, it already became an industrial nation. So for China, the problem is, you know, this agricultural empire had its own logic, had its own economical systems. And then water is so important because this empire historically building along the rivers. The Yangtze River, Yellow River basins is a homes for the majority of people, even nowadays, right? You can see like 80% of populations of China nowadays still live taking this half part of the nation and leave the other part very sparsely populated. There are clutter around the city, the rivers. So cities, major cities that we are familiar with are still along the rivers. So water control is important. I guess that probably can explain why American people are not, you know, pay much attention of that, because in a way that's not a key issue here affecting our life. It's industry countries, and then, you know, for China, it is a problem. I mean, one of my articles, and I think historians who study this floods also found it fascinating, is why we don't have much study on it. Yeah.
It makes sense. And I'm assuming too, this is a very traumatic event that I'm sure was difficult to discuss at the moment. While it was occurring, I'm sure it affected so many people in the entire country.
It totally. I think it, even though we are lack of much history studies, but I'm sure this floods stay in the back of people's mind. You know, 1954, there's another huge flood, which occurred under the communist regime. And the communist leadership leading of local people fighting against that 1954 floods has been well recorded for the political purpose of showing people that, you know, we defeated this even worse floods than our rivalries, the Kuomintang back in 1931. But one thing is, you know, yeah, it's in a different situation, right? We're talking about the Japanese invasion, right? And then the global economical recessions and everything. So, and then the efforts of making urban modernization for Communist Party in the first few decades, you know, the urban development was not on top of their list.
Now, we ask all of our guests this very specific question. Finally, at the end of the day, if you had to pick a person or thing, it could be a concept that you think is to blame for the Central China floods of 1931, who or what would that be?
I don't think I have a specific name of a person in my mind, but definitely I feel like this flood shows this, I would say I would blame this, high industry concept, developmental state that human can conquer nation with the technology advancement. I mean, historically, it does showing that eventually, right, when you're building more sophisticated designed urban drainage systems, underground pipes that help this three cities to sustain. But in heavy rain and unfortunate conditions, the fact that human infrastructures actually decreased the ecosystems of local societies and make the local society resilience sort of weaken the resilience systems of local societies in a unusual flood like this. So yeah, I would say that's that, and then the also blame the central government that they bring a lot of their knowledge, the knowledge rooted in sort of general industry models that stay in their head into the local regions, and then ignore the local knowledge, the wisdoms, and didn't understand how the traditional system works, right? Ignore the interest of the people. There are lots of people question about it. Lots of people's land was reclaimed because of that rapid, ambitious urban modernization project. So yeah, I would say this is very unfortunate occurred in this transitional time, but the over enthusiastic about this industry idea of how human beings can conquer nature yes. without paying attention of the traditional wisdoms, without collaborating closely with the local leaders, and then hearing the voice of local people, that certainly make this disaster unbearable for people living in the city of Wuhan.
Dr. Ye, thank you so much for speaking to us about this horrible disaster we should all be learning more and more about.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you'd like to hear our post-interview discussion and final verdict, head over to Patreon and subscribe. Your support is greatly appreciated. Check out our show notes for a link or head over to patreon.com/thealarmist. And stay tuned, because next week we'll be discussing the death of Kurt Cobain. The Alarmist.
Powered by Acast.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time.
That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.